Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to getting up to speed quickly. Today, our mission is really focused. We're tackling one of the biggest headaches in digital security, keeping web apps and APIs safe. We are diving deep into the sources around OpenAppSec. It's a machine learning engine, and the promise here is pretty big, fundamentally changing web defense, moving security away from, you know, reactive fixes towards automatic preemptive protection against the big stuff like the OWASP top 10 and, yeah, even 0 days. Now, before we jump right in, just a quick word. This deep dive is supported by SafeServer. They handle software hosting and can support you through your digital transformation. You can find out more about them at www.safeserver.de. Okay, let's get into it. If you're in tech, you probably know the pain of the traditional web application firewall, the WAF. It sits in front of your app, and historically managing it, it's a constant battle. Hours writing signatures, exceptions, dealing with false positives.
Yeah, that's exactly the context. The source material really positions OpenAppSec as, well, the opposite of that high maintenance reality. They define it pretty simply: a machine learning security engine. One that automatically and crucially, preemptively, stops threats against web apps and APIs. The core idea isn't just catching known bad stuff. It's about learning what normal looks like for your specific application.
And that's the bit that really grabs your attention, right? Painless to configure and manage, effective security, and it's open source. Honestly, knowing the usual operational grind, that almost sounds, well, too good to be true.
Well, the claim really rests on two core ideas they hammer home: preemptive and precise. Preemptive means it acts without needing those constant signature updates. This is where those pretty startling claims come in. They state it blocked major 0 days, like log4shell and spring4shell, with no prior knowledge, no updates needed. That's a huge deal.
Wow, okay. If that holds water, it means the system isn't just matching patterns, it's understanding the attack's intent somehow.
Precisely, yeah. And that links directly to the second idea, precision. Because the machine learning is continuously adapting to your environment, it supposedly cuts down drastically on the noise. You know, the false positives, the endless exceptions that make old school WAFs such a chore.
Okay, so before we get into the ML engine itself, the sort of brain of the operation, what happens first? When a request comes in, what's the groundwork?
Right, it needs to fully understand the data first, which can be tricky. So for every single HTTP request, the engine starts by decoding everything, all the parts of the payload. It pulls out any nested data, specifically looking for JSON or XML sections hidden inside. Only after it's fully parsed and understood the raw request and applied basic IP checks, then the machine learning part kicks in.
Got it. So let's unpack that core intelligence. The sources talk about a two-phase dual engine process, not just one big AI model. How does it figure out good versus bad?
Yeah, it's clever. It combines global knowledge with very specific local context. The main goal is spotting requests that just don't fit the normal pattern, things that fall outside how users should be interacting with the application.
Okay, phase one, that's the supervised model, the global schooling part.
That's a great way to think about it, yeah. The supervised model is like the global expert. It's trained offline on a massive data set, millions of requests, both malicious attack traffic and perfectly normal benign traffic collected from all over. Think of it as the system's baseline understanding of known attack types seen across the internet.
What kind of data does it look at?
It considers a whole range of things. Mm-hmm. Known attack indicators, the IP's reputation, user agents, browser fingerprints, other sort of contextual clues. It does a quick comparison. Does this incoming request look like any known global attack patterns? The sources mention there's a basic model for, say, testing or monitoring only, but the advanced model, the one they recommend for production, gets updated via their portal. It keeps learning globally.
Okay, so the supervised model acts as a first filter, lets the obviously good stuff through, flags the clearly bad based on global patterns. But what about the gray area? Stuff that looks suspicious globally but might be okay locally. That's where phase two comes in.
Exactly, that's the handoff. If phase one says, this looks risky or suspicious, then the analysis moves to the unsupervised model. And this one is completely different. It's the local detective. It doesn't use that global training data. Instead, it builds its intelligence in real time, right there in your protected environment.
Ah, okay. So it's learning the specific quirks and patterns of my application, my users.
Precisely. It looks at hyper-local context, things like the exact URL being hit, the usual traffic patterns for that specific endpoint, maybe the history of the user involved. It uses this local perspective to generate a final confidence score. And that score decides, block or allow. It's that blend, the global knowledge of attacks, plus the specific understanding of your application's behavior that's supposed to deliver that promised precision.
Interesting. So Moving beyond just the core ML engine, the sources indicate this isn't just a simple filter, even with the two phases. What other security layers are built in? It sounds like a suite.
It really is presented as a comprehensive stack, yeah. Bundled into one engine. A big one for modern setups is API security. The engine apparently discovers your APIs automatically and helps narrow the attack surface. It can enforce strict OpenAPI schema validation.
Making sure the API calls actually look like they're supposed to.
Exactly. Making sure the traffic fits the expected format.
And what about protection against, you know, standard known vulnerabilities? We still need that, right?
Absolutely. And that's integrated, too. There's an enhanced intrusion prevention system in IPS. This protects against, I think the number was over 2,800 specific web CVEs known vulnerabilities. It uses NSS-certified tech and an OpenSnort 3.0 engine. So you get the smart ML detection and strong defense against known exploits. Best of both worlds, supposedly.
Okay, makes sense. What else? Bots are a huge problem.
Yep, covered. They include anti-bot capabilities designed to identify and stop automated attack scrapers, intrusion attempts before they cause damage.
Right, that handles incoming traffic threats. But what about uploads? Malicious files are a classic vector.
Good point. They have built-in file security. It scans uploaded files automatically, and it checks them against a big cloud repository for known malicious file reputations. Helps stop nasty executables or scripts getting onto your servers.
I also saw mention of some pretty advanced rate limiting controls, more than just blocking IPs.
Yeah, the rate limiting seems quite flexible. You can set limits based not just on IP address, but on identifiers inside the session. Like, you know, specific keys found in JWT's JSON web tokens, or maybe values in cookies or custom headers. That's really useful for protecting individual user accounts or API keys from brute force or abuse.
That is more granular.
Definitely. And one more interesting feature, Crowd Wisdom. They partner with CrowdSec. This means the system gets real-time threat intelligence from, I think it's over 64,000 contributing servers. So if an IP address starts attacking applications elsewhere on the network, your system can learn about it almost instantly and block it proactively. Kind of a neighborhood watch for servers.
Okay, let's circle back to those zero-day claims, because that's really the headline grabber. Blocking log4shell without a signature. How do the sources justify that confidence? It still sounds almost magical.
The justification comes back to that unsupervised model, the anomaly detection part. Because it learns normal so well, anything drastically outside that norm gets flagged, even if the specific attack method has never been seen before. The sources specifically list log4shell, spring4shell, also text4shell, that Apache text vulnerability, CVE, 2022, port 2889. And they even mention a tricky WIVE bypass technique using JSON syntax hidden in SQL injection payloads. In each case, the argument is the system saw behavior or request structures that were just weird, highly anomalous compared to the learned baseline for that application. So it got blocked, regardless of the specific attack signature.
Right. It's not matching a known bad pattern. It's spotting not normal. Okay. So thinking about implementation, if I'm running modern infrastructure, cloud, containers, CI/CD pipelines, how does this fit in? If the goal is painless, it can't involve tearing everything down.
No. It seems designed explicitly for that. It's described as cloud native and CI/CD friendly. You can deploy it using declarative methods like infrastructure as code or manage it via APIs. Platform-wise, it usually works as an add-on. You can deploy it with Linux, Docker, Kubernetes setups, and it integrates with common reverse proxies, NGINX, Kong, API 6, Envoy, the usual suspects.
And management flexibility. Different teams have different preferences.
Seems like it. You can use declarative config files, Kubernetes Helm charts, or annotations for that automated K8s workflow. Or they offer a SaaS web interface for managing it visually. So options depending on your operational style.
Good, good. And finally, that open source aspect. That's pretty important for trust, especially with security tools.
Absolutely crucial. It's under the Apache 2.0 license. The core engine code is available. What's interesting architecturally is they seem to have separated the main logic, which is mostly C++, for the bits that connect to the web server attachment in C, and the part that syncs learning data between agents, Smart Sync and Go. That modularity helps with auditing. And critically, the sources highlight an independent third-party security audit was done on the code back in 2022. That definitely helps build confidence.
Okay, this has been a really insightful dive. We've traced the shift, haven't we? From those brittle, signature-based rules needing constant tweaking, that high-maintenance Odref job, towards something self-learning, adaptive, focused on preemptive defense. The big takeaway here seems to be about changing the operational overhead of application security. Moving away from endless manual tuning lets security teams maybe focus on higher level strategy.
It really could shift the focus. And that leads to a really interesting question for you, the listener, to think about. If this kind of technology truly becomes an install and forget solution, one that learns continuously and defends preemptively, what does that mean for the future role of the security analyst, particularly the ones whose main job today is that constant monitoring and fine-tuning of complex security policies? That's the potential strategic shift to consider in your own planning.
A really provocative thought to end on. Think about how that might change things in your own environment or career. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. And thanks once again to our sponsor, SafeServer, for making this exploration possible. Remember to check out how they can support your software hosting and digital transformation at www.safeserver.de. Join us next time on The Deep Dive.